not a member. It's a good money. And colleagues, good morning, everyone. I see Treasurer is taking the back seat. Madam Ferreira, are you leading the team? Okay. I'm sure there's enough space here around the table. Are you agreeing, Honorable Swam? Well, thank you very much. We're trying to wait for him, Honorable Swam. Honorable members, I can't really appreciate enough the pressure under which we are working and which you have been trying your level best, that we made progress. You know, the way one is confused now, I was no longer sure that we passed the Dividend of Revenue on Friday. You know, I thought that we were still going to deal with it, but I'm told that now we pass it. Now we are on the MTBPS and the adjustment. So, okay. So, we really appreciate that Treasurer is here. Because sometimes when we pass the report, we just want to make sure that we all agree. The report is ours, but sometimes with the technical stuff that is there, we'd really appreciate your support, and thank you very much for coming. But also to say that there were issues that were raised that the National Treasurer has been able to respond to those issues. I think our staff must help me. There was something that we spoke up, you and I spoke about, that was what was raised by education on FETs and what are those things. Did you say that there was a response from National Treasury as well?
Yes. On teacher training.
The issue that I'm raising is that education has raised a list of items where they had asked for rollover. Some were approved, some were not approved. But one issue that seemed to be thorny with them was the teacher union. What is it called?
Teacher union collaboration.
And their understanding was that they were in the middle of implementation, and they had already committed the funds, and they thought that it would be approved. But what I'm trying to get, maybe later on the staff side will just verify if there had been response, so that they're saying yes, there's been a response on that. Let's just make sure. But see, that is it. Me, I think that the main thing that one would want to see, or maybe what we need to do now, is to get into the report. It's not going to be very easy dealing with this report, because some people are seeing it for the first time. But we must pass it every day. So the best way to do it is that we read the first page. I don't know how many pages are here. Sorry. Yeah. Now some pages are just introductory pages. There's not a lot to contest, but in the content of pages where there's content, that's where we will have a little bit of deliberation. And I think once we come to hearings again, it will be easier because I think we're familiar with the summary of the presentation that we had. I hope that Ms. Ferreira, you were able to see the report before. Well, without any much ado, I think later we'll have to, it looks like we'll have a problem of the quorum later on, but for now we don't need it, we can continue. Okay, who's going to read? Are you going to take us through? When you're tired, you don't have the mic. You want to sit this side? He wants to read. You wanted to read. Huh? You wanted to read.
Economic issues that impact on our fiscal
on our fiscal. But I think what the report is saying is that in terms of this, but you're right, because these reports go out at the same time, there could be what you call a confusing, you know.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Introduction. The Minister of Finance tabled the MTB medium-term budget policy statement on 23 October 2013 as required by Section 6.1 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, number 9 of 2009, outlining the budget priorities of government for the medium term. The 2013 MTB budget was tabled with the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, B38-2013, and the Adjustment Appropriation Bill, B37-2013, in Parliament. Part of the MTBPS was referred to the Standing and Select Committees on Appropriations for consideration and report. This was done in accordance with their respective mandates as outlined in the Act. Among its responsibilities, as per Section 6.8 in respect of the MTBPS, the committee was required to consider and report on the following issues: the spending priorities of national government for the next 3 years, the proposed division of revenue between the spheres of government and between the arms of government within a sphere for the next 3 years, and the proposed substantial adjustments to conditional grants to provinces and local government, if any. The MTBPS provides an overview of government's key spending areas as the setting for detailed sectoral policies and departmental programs that will accompany the 2014 budget. The committee, in order to deepen democracy, good governance, and promote public participation during the budget process, invited public comments. To give effect to this process, a number of stakeholders were identified, namely Financial and Fiscal Commission, Human Sciences Research Council, and Public Service Commission. No responses were received to the advertisement that was placed by the committee inviting individuals and organizations for comment on the 2013 MTBPS. The advertisement appeared in national and community print media from 18 to 23 October 2013. The 2013 MTBPS was tabled amidst challenges of an uneven global economic recovery. The improving outlook for the world economy is subject to a high degree of risk. In addition, the 2013 MTBPS states that the country cannot rely on developments in the global economy in order to accelerate domestic growth and expand local economic opportunities. South Africa requires immediate measures to implement structural reforms and reignite growth in the medium term. South Africa continues to face a number of challenges, which include the high unemployment rate, especially for those between the ages of 19 and 29, and the over-indebtedness of many households. Government expenditure significantly exceeds government revenue, with the budget deficit estimated at 4.2% of gross domestic product in 2013-14. In addition, interest payments remain the fastest growing expenditure item, which indicates a significant increase in government debt in recent years. The widening current account deficit means that South Africa is reliant on foreign savings to fund the gap between government revenue and expenditure and availing resources for critical policy imperatives, such as the rollout of the extensive infrastructure program. It is against this background that the committee engaged with identified stakeholders on the 2013 MTBPS.
Thank you. It's just, you know, only to add on what, on the question that Honorable Singh raises. I think the importance of this is that in the past, the public has taken Parliament to court because they have said that Parliament had not advertised for comment on this matter. So I think that's why on appropriation this becomes important, so that tomorrow if the speaker is challenged, well, they will not challenge us, they will challenge the speaker, and then the speaker becomes aware on taking the report that we did advertise, there were no responses to appropriation. Honourable members, any comment on page one? Honourable Singh?
Yeah, Chair. I just want to go back to, I understand the macroeconomic and the role of finance and our committee. But you see, if one reads this here, no responses were received to the advertisement that was placed by the committee inviting individuals and organizations for comment on the 2013 MTEPS. Now, there were comments on the 2013 MTBPS. But I think specifically to these three areas here, people didn't respond. Now, if we say no comments were received on the 2013 MTBPS, comments were received by Finance, which is Parliament. our committee didn't receive comments as it relates to spending priorities, proposed division of revenue, and the substantial adjustments. Am I right or wrong? I don't know.
You wanted to add on that, Commander Consul?
In fact, the introduction is just to add on what he, Honorable Singh, says, because it specifies our role according to the Act. And then the advert was based on those three aspects as stated in Section 6. So I would like also to say it becomes clear that there was no response, as Honorable Singh say, based on the three outlined sections of the Act. So to me it covers as well. I don't know whether that's what Honorable Singh was going to say, because we outlined what our role is according to subsection 6, and we advertised. And the advert was based on those, like, institutions like that one that likes schools. It could have responded and said, MTBPS, you know, schools are this and this. But they didn't give themselves that opportunity to come and present to us based on those three issues, which will be a thorny issue to them as the year goes on. But they won't go anywhere because it's covered here. That Section 21 could have come, anybody could have come and said, you know, we've seen this, and then this is how we present, and then we as a committee decide. I think to me then it has become clearer as we read through it. I don't know, Honorable Singh, if we are on the same way.
Honorable Singh, I think that there's nothing wrong in just adding what the addition that you are making, just to clarify this more. I think it's fine. Right. But the other issue, any other what you call comments on page one? Just the I don't know, but I think that is in economic language. You know, on the paragraph starting with the 2013 MTBPS, just below the one that of the advert, was tabled amid challenges of an uneven global economic recovery. And then the next sentence, improving outlook for the world economy, is subject to a high degree of risk. I don't know, maybe we took it from MTBPS. Is it coming from MTBPS? But for me, in the plain language, you know, it doesn't seem to sound so well. And unless whether we say it's a risk of volatility or what does, a little bit of clarity, what we are talking about, what kind of risk. I know that we're saying the improving outlook for the world economy is still subject to a high degree of volatility, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it should be improving outlook or the outlook.
Well, I think it's taken from the fact that the economy is not as it was in 2008.
Yes.
Obviously, there is things are improving. There's growth now. It can be very low in the developed economies and whatnot. But things have changed now.
Okay. Yes, sorry.
Yes, sir.
It's directly from the Treasury statement. Global economic risks. The improving outlook for the world economy is subject to a high degree of risk.
Now, we'll say volatility. We'll say that. We'll use our own language. we must satisfy. Okay, page 2.
Do you want to read or is that to look at a case to give people to? You mean if you think?
If I get page by page, I'll start listening again.
Medium-term expenditure framework. In the 2013 MTVPS, the Minister of Finance pointed out that the proposed allocation of resources over the next 3 years will be informed by government strategic priorities and, in particular, the National Development Plan. Growth in public expenditure is expected to remain within the limits set out by government over the past 2 years. The 2013 MTVPS proposes an average annual real increase of 2.2% in non-interest public spending over the next 3 years. In addition, the minister indicated that more will be done in an effort to find and identify possible savings, eliminate waste, and reprioritize spending towards key social and developmental programs. In particular, $10 billion in budget allocations has been reprioritized in the medium term. There is table 1 underneath the table. Debt service costs continue to outpace the overall growth in total expenditure. In particular, the cost of servicing government debt is projected to grow at an annual average rate of 10.4% in nominal terms over the medium term. Government expenditure in employment and social security services shows the most rapid growth in the medium term at 13.8%. This is followed by local government housing and community amenities function at 8.4% and transport energy communication function at 7.9%. The real growth in spending in education, health and social protection and defense functions is mainly the result of additional salary requirements. The 2013 MTVPS states that maintaining the main budget expenditure ceiling will entail higher levels of expenditure in some areas and lower levels of expenditure in other areas. For example, I'll just end the paragraph. For example, average growth in spending on goods and services will decline from 9.2% observed in the past 3 years to 5.9% over the medium term. In addition, expenditure growth will decrease in the medium term compared to the 10-11 to 13-14 period for general public services and economic services, while it will increase for the employment and social protection services. Table 2 below outlines the main budget framework for 10-11 to 16-17.
But it's long. Maybe let's just take that part and check if there are any comments. But really, it's just the background that is coming from NTPPS most of But what again, I'm sure Mr. Ferreira and the team, you will assist us in the language that I don't understand. On page 3, just the last paragraph says the table 2 below outlines the main budget framework for the period 2010 to 2016. Well, okay. Now, just that in my mind, there's this MTF, medium, there's this MTF, but I get a difference. Yeah. Okay.
Basically, the main budget, it refers to your national government and your provincial government, so it's the division of revenue that comes from the National Revenue Fund, and then you also get consolidated government that includes your public entities. So the term main is just to distinguish in terms of the levels of government that you're looking at. And the medium-term expenditure framework refers to the three outer years of the MTF period. So that is 2014-15 to 2016-17. So it's just different technical terms.
So you're saying the
term main budget just wants to be inclusive in terms of okay, everything
it's basically to say it's not consolidated level of government, so it doesn't include your public entities. It's the revenue from the National Revenue Fund that gets divided.
Okay. No, it's fine. I'll hold on a second. Welcome. Okay. We haven't done table two, eh? You just ended before table two.
Yeah.
Just on table two, eh? Because it is a table anyway as is. What I don't understand, I really don't understand. If you look at the table, non-interest expenditure, 949.1. The total there is 953.1. Is it on the table? Yeah. What is the difference? Okay. You see where non-interest expenditure is? And the total.
The state debt cost, so that 100.5 is not included in your non-interest expenditure. So your non-interest expenditure is everything besides your state debt cost.
But continue, madam. But on the 953, surely it's not included there.
No, it's not included there.
What is included that makes this difference?
So the difference between the 1049.6 and the 953 is the 100.5. You know, that first line that's got state debt costs.
Nah. My just arithmetic will not agree with you. Or you want to help? You want to help?
Okay. I think.
Or should just flag it and come back to it later. Okay, you want to do it?
Okay. Okay. Chairperson would like to see the difference between 953.1 and 94.1. 949.1, and the difference is the debt cost, which is 4 billion, which is included there in the state debt cost above 100.5.
Okay, I want to be fair to you. I'm taking that flag, and you come back to it. Because he's not answering my question here. The difference can be 100. The difference here, the other one is 49, other one is 53, is 4 billion. The difference only 4 billion, not 100 billion. So that's why I'm saying, let us flag it. We'll come back to it. Are you ready now?
Sorry, the 4 billion is the projected underspending. If we look on the AE&E in the summary chapters on table one, you can actually see it there.
What I think she means, the non-interest expenditure on top, 949, it's the budget. Yes, it's the revised budget. And then the 953 underneath is the projected expenditure as at year end. So it's likely that we're going to, yes, which is for the 3 years of government, which says we're going to underspend by 4 billion. The 2014 medium-term budget framework allocates 47.6% to national departments, 43.4% to provincial departments, and 9% to local government in 2014-15. budget allocations to the national sphere will increase by 6.7% over the 2014 medium-term expenditure framework period. Provincial allocations will increase by 6.9%, and local government growth in them allocations will increase by 8%. Provincial allocations show slightly higher growth in the medium term due to significant personnel costs in provincial service delivery, while local government growth reflects its growing role in building infrastructure and providing services. Expenditure in defense, public order and safety grows at an average annual rate of 6.1% to reach 184.4 in 16-17. Expenditure growth in this function is largely to finance the sector's higher wage bill due to the labor-intensive nature of the function. The Department of Correctional Services has reprioritized funds towards the electronic monitoring system to alleviate prison overcrowding, while the Department of Defense has reprioritized funds towards the operational budget of the South African Air Force. Some of the key proposals contained in the NDP include making sustainable investments in competitive economic infrastructure. Expenditure for the Transport, Energy and Communications function grows by an average annual rate of 7.9% to 105.8 billion in 16-17. The medium-term budget provides for funding to support the PRASA, procurement of rolling stock. Okay. PRASA plans to purchase more than 606 car trains over the next 10 years. In addition, funding is provided for the provision of set-top boxes to more than 5 million low-income households in preparation for the switch to digital television in 2015. The 2013 MTPA states that the taxi recapitalization program is in the process of being reviewed. As such, funding in that regard will be delayed in the medium term. The committee views the implementation of the taxi recap program as critical, although the outcomes of the program and the impact on the taxi industry thus far are not clear. I'll continue, Chair. Okay. The budget by baseline for the economic services function grows at an average annual rate of 4.2% from a revised estimate of 47.3 billion in 2013-14, 53.4 billion in 2016-17. The economic services function includes a broad range of incentives to support economic competitiveness, to enhance South Africa's industrial capacity, boost exports, and encourage inward investment. It also includes funding for small enterprise development, promotion of special economic zones, and support for broad-based black economic empowerment. The budget framework will prioritize key areas such as research and development in the industrial sector, financing for development institutions, funding for land reform and restitution, and investment in emerging commercial farms and in farms belonging to land reform beneficiaries. Expenditure in health services is projected to moderate in the 2014 medium-term budget framework. This follows significant growth in health spending in the past 5 years, which averaged 15.8% per annum. Priority areas in health spending over the medium term will be on the rollout of an improved diagnostic test to tuberculosis, additional allocations for the HIV/AIDS program, and investments in health and hospital infrastructure. The NDP emphasizes the need for an improvement in the education system in order to address poverty and strengthen efforts at building a more capable workforce. Education is the largest single category of government expenditure. Expenditure in the education function is projected to increase at an annual average rate of 7% in the medium term from 233.6 billion in 2013-14 to 286.5 billion in 2016-17. The increase in the budget baseline for the education function is largely due to the high personnel costs, given that a significant portion of the budget is for compensation of employees. The medium-term budget allocations for the school infrastructure backlogs grant and education infrastructure grant have been slightly reduced. However, it is critical to note that the two infrastructure grants continue to grow rapidly over the MTEF with an average annual growth rate of over 10%. Government employment programs are to be scaled up so as to provide work opportunities to 2 million people per year. This is in line with targets contained in the NDP and is a significant improvement on the 1 million work opportunities the government provided in 12-13. It is envisaged that the community works program will be present in every municipality in the medium term. The budget allocation for the employment and social security function will increase significantly in the 2014 MTEF from 50.6 billion in 2013-14 to 74.6 in 2016-17. The committee views the success of the community works program as vital for the development of skills, though it is concerned with the quality of services rendered by agents, professional service providers, and non-governmental organizations appointed to implement the CWP program. Consolidated spending on health and social protection will grow at an average annual rate of 7.3% in the medium term, from an estimated $266 billion in 2013-14 to $328.4 in 2016-17. Priority areas include provisions for antiretroviral treatment and the purchase of new equipment for forensic chemistry laboratories. In addition, the Department of Health is to introduce a new vaccine aimed at reducing incidences of cervical cancer.
Thank you.
I just want to know, you see, where we got the tables, we say the source is the National Treasury.
Okay.
These things that we've read here, are these our, the committee's surmising what is there, or is this taken directly from the Treasury document?
It's summarized from the Treasury
document. It's summarized, it's not quoted directly.
Going to ask one thing because I'm worried about this item because that's what we got from Treasury. Could you also keep everything? I don't have any problem with it, but if this those items, what grants, the school infrastructure does not grant, and I saw it again, the digital infrastructure does not. It seems where they existed in Italy. We also wrote in Italy, that is coming from this Italian thing that is the one that could be done that has been in a proper way of if we are comfortable with learning from them, so that is something. And that actually, if you could keep it just
I think that the correct, I'm sure you continue with the question, the horrible thing started.
That's what I didn't care about how we got it there. I was just worried about even taking out the funds from there.
Well, I think that I guess National Treasury's intention in putting it differently in the kind of wording is really to draw the what you call it, the attention of the reader to this. Maybe we could have also done it differently. In fact, I think that from what another thing is saying, our report should not just transcribe what is in the MTBT case. Our report was meant to summarize after we have read and say, and don't repeat what is there, but express our own views in terms of how we view the MTBT case. So happy with 1, 2, 3. But you just there by the door, Honorable Singh. No? You're ready to go out. No? But let's just, I'm sure the staff will be here when you and I are outside the door. No? But I think that in future, the report must be a report. You know, I think that the report must really be a report so that it should help us to to say these are the issues that from the NTBPS or whatever document that we think that we are flagging as important, what you call issues for us that we see as important as a committee taking forward, you know, and in our own language.
No, Chair. I wanted to just to comment. My understanding is that the section of the report will be in most cases identical to the Treasury document, because it lays the basis for your observation and recommendation later. So in most cases, you're not going to have the sections are heading, certain sections. For an example, what we're dealing with now, we're dealing with the medium-term expenditure framework. That would be probably identical to what you have, even if it's going to be a summarized version, but it is going to be because it's stating the facts. And then later in the document, you then when we start engaging with it in our different heading, then we'll deal with our observations and the other stuff and the recommendations. But that's how I would comment on the question that was posed by Honorable Singh here. The second thing I wanted just to make sure is that on the highlighted or underlined committee, would it not read better if you space that paragraph? Because that's don't make it as if it's a continuation of that same paragraph where you speak. When the committee speaks, it's an independent view of a committee. So therefore you space it so the reader sees the follow in terms of the statement and what the committee views are on that particular thing. So I thought it would read better that way. Although I know they were trying to make to shorten the pages.
Before you finish it,
you're right. I think that that's generally you're generalizing that in all where there are committee views, this must be seen to be separate from the continuation of the system. But just on the views, just on those views, I don't know if that's what we said. But what we said on those views about community work program, is it a committee work program that is vital for the skills? My understanding is that it's the EPWP, which one of the conditions is that there must be training and what and reports on that by this. Is this even the same for community work program? I know that in a way it is in EPWP itself, but another department giving it another name. So the conditions the same would be the same. Because the issue that really we were saying here, I don't know if that's captured properly. The issue that members were raising was that the problem with EPWP is that lots of the money falls in the crack. It doesn't go to the intended beneficiaries. You know, it goes to the professional, what you call it, people. I mean, that confession came from the person responsible for that program, if you remember, from Copter. It came from them. They considered that a lot of the money falls there. Doesn't go to the beneficiaries, And the committee, actually, I think that we have just been overtaken by events. The intention was to come back and find, and the committee would contribute in terms of how it thinks that the bulk of the money must go to the beneficiaries, the intended beneficiaries. But all that I'm asking is this wording, does this wording convey that message?
Could I perhaps make a suggestion? I think what you were referring to was the administrative costs, so you could say keep those to a minimum.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Initially, this was raised when the Treasurer was making his presentation on the NTPS, and the concern was that the NGOs, they've got the contract, but they don't comply with the standards. There's the types of jobs they give to people, the types of opportunities they create. You find people just come in and register, and then they leave. The service is not there. But I think what Chair now is concerned more with is that, okay, that may be the case, but the concern is that the proportion of funding from the allocated funds is too high that goes to the actual NGOs instead of creating the actual opportunities, which is not captured here, which is we need to, okay. Mm.
Thanks, Chair. I think there's just a technical correction on the number of 17712. In the budget review, it's 17172, so I think the 1 and the 7 have just been switched in the second paragraph. It's 17172.
Grant beneficiaries in 16095 in 1213, and is expected to grow to 17712 million in 1516.
I don't know. What was it? I think you're still thinking. You said come back.
government.
In the speech it says no credit cards.
Point 1, Financial and Fiscal Commission. The FFC in its submission welcomed the 2013 MTPS and viewed the emphasis contained in the budget policy framework on the intention and commitment to implement the MTPS commendable.
Sorry, honourable members, at least this part I'm sure is still very fresh in our minds. Your FFC, your HHSRC, your what you call it. Can we just slowly say, look at this by pages? The problem is we're not doing well according to time. I think that because I would like us to spend a lot of time with our observations and recommendations rather than this one. Comrade Jamata?
The note must be a call. Chair, I'm not taking you back.
Yeah.
And I hesitate because I may be taking you back. I read the document that he was emailed to me, and I didn't find a major problem with it. I thought this morning we would go to the observation and then the findings. So, but when I arrived, I then saw that sentence word for word reading. I was worried about the time of adopting the report by today, whether we're going to make the time. But I for myself, I read the document, and so I am fairly happy with it.
Now you're a Democrat. You are a Roman, yes, we find the Romans will be a Roman. But I don't know. No, maybe we could take that route on our members because the issue is really time now. But it doesn't stop any one of us if you want to raise something from what you pick up here. We will not, what you call it, say no, we will pass that. We will deal with that. Any issue that maybe anyone of us would like to to raise, because those issues that are here will be flagged now in the observations and recommendations. The same issues are here. Yes? Something you wanted to raise? Okay.
There were just number corrections from National Treasury.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
That's why they're here.
Yes. The one that I can think of now is on page 6. Okay.
Let's check. We'll erase through. Okay. On page 6, is there any correction that you would like to make?
It was just that number of the 3 billion. It's not consistent with our sources. The underspending numbers are contained in Annexure A of the MTBPS.
You see, it's difficult for you because what this report is saying here is what FFC was saying. Whether it's correct or not correct, Honorable Matlakane was correct to say the introduction. That's where you could make corrections, that we didn't say this, it's not what appears, and that's what needs really to be consistent with what you said, or the minister, or the NTBPS itself is saying. But this one is an observation of someone else. They might be rounding up numbers and what. So, but if you're dealing with the in fact, it's what they say. They are on what you call the observation.
Yes.
Let's come.
Yeah, Chair. Thank you, Chair. What is the correct figure, though? What is the...
Well, in the Annexure A, we've got a number for national government, provincial. They seem to add all the spheres here together, which we don't normally do because they're on a different basis of accounting. National and provincial government are on the cash basis, while local government is on the accrual basis. So we would typically not add this up. Well, if national government's about 7 billion, provincial about another 7 billion, and local government on an accrual is about 30 billion. So
they have underestimated.
Let me just ask the question. Is Treasury saying that you're saying they seem to have added this up? You don't add them up, you leave them as they are. And I ask, when you add them up, what do they give you?
You see, it's now, not that they seem, what they say here, the total unexpenditure in all 3 spheres of government. On that sentence, where
yeah.
It says. So,
yes.
Yeah. But I think that what we could say is we didn't correct it that time. Comrade Mashiko is correct that Madam Ngaleni was here. She should have what we call corrected it that time. It was not corrected that time. Now, we can't correct it now in their absence. In their own observation, whether it's correct or not correct. But if it comes to a debate, that's not how sure that I would say, okay, hang on. This is not the what to call it, the right thing.
But Chair, there's something wrong, or either we're speaking at cross purposes here.
Yeah.
There is what is the treasury figure? Because this is $3.41 billion. Which is what now? Now they're mentioning like 44 billion. 700. This is under expenditure we're talking about.
Under expenditure nationally is 3.04 billion.
Now, well, this is the figure that the minister mentioned and Douglas mentioned in the treasury document. I think the under expenditure project is 3 billion or something.
That's right.
That's what he did.
Yes.
No, but it's in the one table, one of the tables, where I've seen it. Where I've seen it, but I've seen it somewhere. It's all it's in the table of revenue.
Yes.
And it's all in the table of revenue. I've seen it somewhere. You're right. Okay, please.
The 3.5 billion that Honorable Ramatlakane is referring to is projected under expenditure for 13-14. The figure that we are talking about is the outcome for 12-13. What was under spent in 12-13, the past financial year. So that is the one that the FFC has a figure here, but Raya Charis and the figure actually is different.
Honourable members and my officials from Treasury, I think that let's not waste a lot of time about this. We have got Treasury has provided us with information in terms of correctly what is the underexpenditure at national level, 3 point something billion, but it's there somewhere. In one of the presentations that we have prepared. Sorry? No. I can't remember, but it is there. I don't know. Pelela, can you just get this figure? Ne? But the issue that you got it, Zandiv, ne? But the issue that we're saying here, we are reporting on what FFC said. So let's not crack our what you call heads now, because we did not contest it with FSC that you're wrong. This is not the correct data.
Yes, this is like a set of minutes.
It's like a set of minutes of what took place there. Honorable Sim?
Yeah, Chair, no, I agree. But you see, it brings me to my earlier point. In the report of this committee, we have to be clear. Well, we are at the door now, you said so. But in future, we have to be clear about what we are saying and what somebody else is saying. In some of the lines here, we say the commission indicated that a significant blah, blah, blah. So on this very important issue here, we must also say the commission indicated. Yeah. It's not us. It mustn't be seen to be a statement from the committee that there's under expenditure. So somewhere along the line, the way we craft the report must clearly separate what we think and what PSC may come and say this report is, they might say this is rubbish, something. We must put it there.
Yeah.
But we quote them.
I think I can't agree more with what you think. But somehow I picked up issues that the report says is a committee. It's not that we are rushing now, but I've read the report. It says the committee. And it's not supposed to, it's not the committee. I think the commission somewhere else, where it says the committee, I know that we didn't deliberate on this thing, is the view of the commission. But let's what we call it, just go to these observations, but come back and pick up on, clean up the document. You're quite right on how to think. So, if it's the view of FSC, it should be the view of the FSC, not our view. That's why we're reporting here on what the FMC's views are. And obviously, there will be a committee's comments because we engage with them. Yeah. want to raise something? You found it? You found it? Mr. Zuma does not want to speak to me. He wants to speak, but it's the said in those meetings anyway. As I said, he must look for this and find it now. He doesn't speaking to. Okay, we'll come back to that. Okay, with education. See, the issue that, Zandi, you said that education has responded. But I just wanted to hear, what is this? I wanted to hear from the treasury side about what education was saying. But are you saying that we have a response from National Treasury? Sorry? Yeah. Okay. Whatever I said.
Say what you said.
Okay. Okay. Now it's fine. Then, so you say we'll deal with it when we come there. No? No, no, no. The issue that I'm saying I wanted Treasury to comment on is those rollovers. You remember education said they asked for rollovers. There was this 26 million. Zandi is saying that is contained in the adjustment, not now. So we will park it then until that time. One might like to flag with National Treasury is the report of the Public Service Commission when it appeared before the committee. As it did last year, and I think the year before last, they are raising the difference between the expenditure and the actual predetermined objectives. There's a dissenter in that. Now, the question that we're asking ourselves as a committee is, in future, how do we ensure that we don't wait until the end of the year to pick up that the departments are not spending according to their predetermined objectives. Would it be possible to flag these things in the quarterly report or what? In fact, what we intend doing is in the recommendations. Eh?
Yes.
So what we intend doing, you may not respond now because we have put it in the recommendations that this is how we would like this matter to be dealt with. If there's a way of the, I'm sure we'll get a response then. Okay. Let's go to then, on page 15. Go page 15, I guess. Okay. On page 15.
Just on page
11,
Chair.
On page
11? Yeah. We went to the fourth paragraph on the top. Right in the middle, it says there was also need to build trust. I think we should say there was also a need.
Page
Committee observations and findings. 4.1. The committee welcomes the 2013 MTPS and the proposed measures to contain costs and eliminate waste of public funds.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. 4.2.
There remain significant disparities between departments' expenditure performance and service delivery performance. The committee notes that departments routinely spend above 90% of their budgeted funds, yet achieve less than 60% of their predetermined objectives.
Yeah. Any comment?
No, I agree with it, but I was just thinking whether the sentence one, the first one, won't read better if you don't use two performances. You paraphrase the sentence, you take the first performance out, and you talk about service delivery performance. Because expenditure is expenditure problem that has remained parity between the department expenditure and service delivery performance. So it was performance.
Now, for me, I wanted to raise it differently. That sometimes we don't distort the message. Because if we're talking expenditure performance and service delivery, maybe someone else might contest that. But the Public Service Commission speaks about the expenditure performance and the predetermined one. They are very specific. So sometimes if we're talking service delivery, we might be generalizing. You know, I'd just like us to be focused there, you know. I don't know the feeling of the House, but I think that let us use the language that they use so that we are not contested in this report, you know. Yep.
Okay.
Huh? Okay, sure. Okay. Page 16. Sorry? The predominant objective, I understand that is those APPs. At the beginning of the year, they come and say how we spend. But the expenditure now from there details.
The committee, noting its added responsibility for oversight over the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, welcomes the partnership between National Treasury and the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation in rolling out a program of expenditure reviews.
point very quickly. We just say that 90% of the funds, yes, achieve less than 60%. It is less than 60% because it's 51%, in fact, you know, which is a far cry from 60%. I'm just wondering whether we shouldn't have a more accurate figure there.
You're saying
well, it's, you know, say less than, you know, say just over 50%. Then.
Any number less than 50%.
Less than 60%, because it's, you know, it's much closer to 50 than 60.
Just over
50%.
Okay. Why don't we say the committee remains there remain significant disparities between departments' expenditure performance and predetermined targets? I don't know what we add, because they are very low, what you call achievements. But who is responsible for this? We raised this question with PSC. Who is responsible to look at this function? Is it Treasury?
Yeah, it's the Department of Performance Monitoring.
It is the one that must check whether the expenditure is in line with the criteria.
Well, I think they would be more to determine the targets, and then it would also be the Auditor General.
Comes to the AG report, Chair.
But why is it in the AG report, Chair? It comes from the department itself.
Mm.
And the AG puts it into the report because they want the performance targets to be included in the report.
When you say it comes from the department itself, what department? There are so many departments.
No, whichever department would say our target was 80 and we achieved 40.
Mm.
And then we draw conclusions from there as members.
But you, in the report, you'll notice that we're proposing that we must find a way of dealing with this in here. Let me tell you. In here. So that we don't wait, have to wait until the end of the year when we found out that actually the department did not want to come. Because some departments are performing very badly, you know. But we mustn't wait. How do we find in here that look, we are deviated?
You're not going to meet your target.
You're not going to meet your.
No,
you have deviated totally. Yeah. This is what you said to us you'll do beginning of the year. Because the problem with the portfolio committee is 18, but quarterly reports are for the appropriation. Yeah. But I know that a few portfolios do look at the quarterly reports of the department and wish that more portfolio committees can do that. Okay. Please proceed. So what do you say about 4.2?
I think the figure is
so really fixed here. Okay.
It's fixed.
It's fixed here, yeah. Just over 50%.
No, it's fine. You're being generous. It's fine. Let's continue.
Yeah, why don't we take, we can say the committee notes that while some departments, let's be specific, routinely spend, let's take the 22% one, 100%, then the target is 22%. SAPS, output. SAPS 22% and rural development land reform is 31%.
Yeah, but I think we're talking about the whole lot here, Chairman, because the whole list.
But what is the report? The intention of the report was to generalize. When you generalize, you kind of
unscientific average, you know, that roughly this is what you call it. Because in the examples that we are given here, there's only one department above 60%.
The one with 90, the economic development department with 97%.
Yeah.
The average over 15%.
Yeah.
But if you had to take that department out, there's nothing.
Yeah. Or basic education, 63.
School building there. The schools now.
So, excuse me?
Don't put a percentage. Just say they achieve much less in terms of the predetermined targets.
I wanted us to do that so that we then we don't get fighting over the percentage and the correctness.
So we can say that the committee notes that while some departments routinely spend above 90% of their budgeted funds, they achieve much less in terms of the predetermined targets.
Chair, shouldn't you replace the much with significant? That word is there.
The Queen will give you 9 out of 10.
Kind of a stronger word than milder words, because I think we're just avoiding to go on to percentage, but we are just simply appalled by 22%. So if you say achieve significantly lesser than the predetermined, it's got it shows that we are quite unhappy about that.
No, I think the number is now between what Honorable King is saying and what he's saying.
It's my life.
Mine is my life.
It can be much, much. It is a language.
Okay.
So what are we saying?
Significantly less.
Okay. This language is correct.
Okay. Are you in 4.4, yeah?
4.4, yeah.
Yeah. You see there, I'm just writing one of my points that I'm going to use in the debate, and my point on housing is going to be what the FFC said about taking a broader look at the housing policy and the way we deliver housing. Because this urban migration now is just causing us to build more houses in the cities, because people are moving away from the rural areas into the cities. Some of them, well, for jobs, and then because they're going to get a free house.
Yeah.
Now, I think FFC said we need to take a broader look, and in my view would be we need to take a broader look at rural renewal, not only urban renewal, but rural renewal. There is a program, but I don't think it's being driven as much as the urban housing program. You get the RHIG and things like that, but it's more sanitation and things. I think the FFC did make a point on that, but I don't know how much we want to state it here.
Now, you're right that the FFC made the point, but also the FFC just made the point about housing. But government has created the Department of Rural, what you call it, development, which means that maybe we might not be seeing the results now, but there's commitment from government side to deal with the rural, what you call it, development. Because now housing is just one, what you call it, issue. But there are other issues. I'm sure other people would raise. Sorry?
I say I'm comfortable with the way this is written.
This is written now.
Yeah. But I can take it forward.
Devolution of responsibility from housing function. Well, this one specifically is about that devolution. Eh? From what you call the okay. Honorable Singh says fine with 4.4.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
Yeah.
Okay. 4.5?
Or 4.5, the committee notes that there are slight reductions in the medium-term budget allocations for the school infrastructure backlogs grant and education infrastructure grant. These school infrastructure grants continue to grow rapidly over the MTEP with an average annual growth of over 10%.
Though the school, what you call it,
these must be the start of a new sentence.
If not, though.
Stop at grant and then say these schools
are such grants. Yeah, another part is right. Either we put a full stop or we say though,
yeah.
So that we join the what you call it, two sentences. Yeah, but the other thing, just to make a comment there, is that you remember that we said to the Department of Basic Education, give us your proper program in terms of when are you expected to do what? Because Honorable Ramatlakane, you spoke about measurements that we put. Otherwise, our oversight is just general.
Yeah.
It's there. Okay. I can see you sitting next to Zandi, so you're getting the benefits of that. Another thing you're setting out is fine. Okay. So they have responded. But whether they have responded on what we asked for is something else. Four point six.
The committee welcomes the Public Service Commission's proposals to enhance and institutionalize the support it provides to the Standing Committee on Appropriations.
Why do we think that paragraph is relevant to the report?
No. Make a suggestion, Honorable Matagana. It's not radically enhancing. Now we can remove it.
Yeah.
4.7.
The committee notes the commitment to condone and moderate growth in public sector wage bill and the proposed monitoring of the hiring of personnel. In addition, the committee notes the Public Service Commission. The Public Service Commission's findings that in 2012-13 over 70% of departments operated with an organizational structure without having secured concurrence from the DPSA.
The second line, public sector's wage bill is preferred monitoring of the hiring of personnel.
You know, why don't we do what Honorable Singh has just read as 4.6, ne? And then the public service one, it becomes a point for public service. We do it at 4.7. So that we just to, because the one that you're referring to is National Treasury, that is a commitment to contain the what you call, ne? That's correct, yeah. Yeah. But so this part is it what public service said, you know?
Yes.
Sure, it's serious.
Yeah, they made some serious statements.
It's serious. If more than 70% of the departments haven't solicited, sought the concurrence of from. Yeah. Okay, 4.8.
The committee notes that the taxi recapitalization program is in the process of being reviewed. As such, funding for the taxi recapitalization program will be delayed in the medium term.
It's from the NPV, yeah. Okay. Okay. Committee works.
The committee welcomes government's commitment to establish and implement a community works program in every municipality in the country.
This is what you call a section supposed to be the observations and findings. What is that?
Yeah, you're right.
They are there in every municipality.
But they're not effective, like you said.
This is from the speech of the minister, and they indicated that there will be a CWP in all municipalities. It's still to be established in all municipalities.
Because you would remember that this program resides with the national department, actually. It's driven by the national department. So it may not be in every municipality.
Thank you, Chair. I think you've got it accurately in the sense that they are there, they're just not in every municipality at the moment.
Chair, on that paragraph that you separated, the 70% of department violation. Do we want to say anything about DEPSA on that paragraph? Because if there is a agreed regulation, and the regulation 70% of the department does not necessarily follow the regulation, it speaks, it says something about the department that manages the regulation. So the question I'm asking in this, well, I should think that DEPSA should really enforce the compliance. Now, whatever that means, they should be
permitting now.
Yes. On that, I think that we end the sentence there that they are not having secure concurrence with the public service administration. So I think we should try and find a link to emphasize the point that the this department must not fail to enforce compliance.
So having obtained the necessary approvals.
Chair, over 70% of the departments operate with an organizational structure without having obtained the approval from the Department of Public Administration. Sorry,
I was comfortable with this concurrence. I'm not sure if it should be approval or what. I don't know what the regulation says. We have no idea.
Until approval.
Sorry?
Russia must be signed off.
Mm. Okay. You remember some departments we dealt with some months ago?
Some of them cried about that.
Sorry?
Some of them cried about why they appointed outside
the staff. Okay. Comrade Mfu?
No, I was just saying what Honorable Ramasakale says is we need to add the sentence that is talking about the department itself needs to enforce compliance. So that they can be known, because he was asking what are we saying about the DEPSA itself. So they must make sure that that compliance is happening.
That's what
you are saying on 5.4.
Oh,
of the recommendations now. Okay, thank you. We and 4.10.
So, the committee notes the lack of integration in farmer support programs provided by the Departments of Rural Development and Land Reform and Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
So you're saying agreed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anil Kharapla?
Agreed.
Okay. Okay, now we are on 5. Is there, before we go to 5, is there something perhaps that we have not reflected here on these observations that you think that we could have flagged? Okay. If there's anything, we'll come back to it. Paragraph 5, recommendations.
Recommendation 5.1, that the Minister of Finance ensure the following, that National Treasury develops systems and mechanisms targeted specifically at enhancing the performance of schools' infrastructure programs, such as the Accelerated Schools Infrastructure Development Initiative.
Chair, is that a function of National Treasury only, or is it a function with higher, the Department of Higher Education? Basic education. Isn't it a joint function? But National Treasury needs to sort of drive it. In conjunction with the Department of Basic Education, develops systems.
Okay. So now we can say this, but we have already, there is this document that was shown around here, where we said to them, and clearly it means that they didn't have a system. I don't know. Where we said to them, tell us, how do you monitor this under expenditure? And clearly, I don't know if we'll have time. I don't know if we have time to look at this document, because we must be satisfied that the document that they gave us in terms of monitoring ACIDI will, what you call, achieve or yield the desired results. I don't know. I've not seen it. I've not looked at it. I don't know. But, Comrade Mashiach. Among the chickens, I don't know, but there is the PICC now, which is responsible for infrastructure, bulk infrastructure. Do they have a role here, or we leave it as saying National Treasury and Basic Education? Sorry. That's correct. There are those seats. Honorable Sir,
shouldn't we bring performance? monitoring and evaluation in ERC.
National Treasury, but I'm sure the officials from National Treasury are here. I'm not going to listen to what I'm going to say now. National Treasury has a constitutional responsibility. Where is the Constitution? Sorry? It's in the Constitution. That's correct. But sometimes they shirk this responsibility. That's why I'm saying the officials are not going to be. Sometimes they shake this responsibility because it's from colleagues. They don't want to be seen as the big brothers and sisters or what. So. But the reality is that the Constitution enjoins National Treasury to do certain things. You know? Okay, we're saying here National Treasury and the what to call, no? In conjunction with the DBE. No? Okay. See, my fear now is we're all thinking about something, putting something. Let's just make it small, come. Yeah, let's just say Treasury and DBE. We know that above this, we have ourselves doing our own, what you call, oversight. We're not mentioning ourselves because we have to do oversight. The portfolio committee is supposed to be doing oversight as well on this. No. I'm saying it's supposed. I'm using my language very carefully. Yeah. Oversight around this. But, okay, we're saying National Treasury and DBE. Okay, two.
National Treasury develop and implement mechanisms to ensure that baseline funding requirements are in place for the successful transfer of the further education and training colleges function to the Department of Higher Education.
Can I ask the question, sir? What do you mean by this? What do you mean by successful transfer of function, further education and training function? What are we talking? Now, what are we talking? I want to know what are we talking about. What is this recommendation intended to achieve? Because I think the transfer function has happened some time back. We're not dealing with transfer function now. We're dealing with delivery. Is the issue now about additional resource to what has been allocated to the Department of Higher Education, having not taken into account the additional function perhaps? Because we can't speak about the successful transfer if there is no transfer taking place currently. I just want to ask, what is in the head of the writer or the drafter on this recommendation?
Yeah, thank you. Now you would remember that there's a problem that is you remember if you are not in the meeting when we were with DBE. We were in that meeting. Sorry, you were there, eh? Because we are aware of this question of there's a challenge between the transferring of funds. Funds are still within the what you call PPE, which is provinces. They are not with higher education. We raised this question with higher education. Remember, the acting DG said that he dismissed what you call the issue, but at the end, he said that they are going to a meeting, I think on a particular date or on a Friday, between higher education and them to sort out this issue of funding for FET. I think that what he said was that, part of what he said was that from 2014,
it means that I suppose things that would be smooth. This fund, I mean, the resources will also follow the function. The budget will not be now with DBE. It will be with higher education. Am I correct? From 2014.
There's still a bit of uncertainty about finalizing the timeframes, but the work that's outstanding is the shifting of the money from the provinces to the Departments of Higher Education and Training. So there is money in dedicated FET programs within provincial education departments, but then there are also some salaries in FET colleges that are paid from elsewhere within the department. And it's the work of getting all that detail done and getting an agreement from the province on exactly how much money they need to give up so that the Department of Higher Education and Training can take on that full responsibility and have all the necessary funds for it.
No, I do your recommendation.
So
you want to go to Bosma now?
No, I'm not. I'm not. You see, the if we want to capture,
yeah,
the fact that because the way it's written here,
okay,
it's not saying this; it's saying something else. If it's about facilitation,
yeah,
that Treasury must play that central role in that facilitation. I think we need to recast it so that it reads like that.
National Treasury's announced program of expenditure reviews include an assessment of the performance of direct and indirect conditional grants.
Chair, I would like to suggest that we say the National Treasury's announced program of expenditure reviews include an assessment of the performance of direct versus indirect conditional grants.
I think the challenge that we're having is not too much here, but I think it's related to RILC, no? So now we're saying that National Treasury National Treasury's announced program of expenditure reviews included this. Eh?
Yeah.
asking is other than the rural household infrastructure grant, is there any other thing else? The only one.
Okay, it's just an observation. One can note that probably it could be that in many instances, indirect grants are not performing as we would like them to. An example would be the ACD program, for example. And then an example would be what the committee supported, that it's better that the human settlements function goes to local government level. So maybe we just like to get more broader view and assessment on exactly what are the challenges with regards to the direct versus indirect.
But is it possible then that we could, we don't want National Treasury to go there and start thinking, you know, that we could direct them, what is it that we're talking about, so that just to make examples, that one that you're making, and maybe not say it's not limited to this, but including what you call it, this. Yeah. So that they themselves, when they are dealing with recommendations, they are clear what is expected of them. Yeah. Yes, come.
No, I was just saying this sentence is intrusive because there are different grants that are there. So if it says just conditional grants, they know which one. But what we are saying here, we're saying direct versus indirect because of those challenges that you just make an example of.
We were told that the direct grants perform better than the indirect grants. Mm-hmm. This is what you'd like to have a preview. They would do a better assessment.
Okay. And so the man just under the two. Initial in terms of what we're calling what we're trying to correct. So are we saying that it's called let us leave it as is?
That National Treasury develop and incorporate conditions in the grant frameworks of the develops and incorporate conditions in the grant frameworks of the Community Works Program and other employment programs that stipulate minimum standards of service quality for those NGOs and service providers implementing the said programs.
On a technical note, the Community Works Program is not a grant, so it doesn't have a grant framework. Or you could take out the specific reference to the CWP and just say the employment program.
National Treasury, in consultation with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, include performance on predetermined objectives in its quarterly expenditure report submitted to the Standing Committee on Appropriations. That the Minister's of Finance and Human Settlements develop and implement a capacity enhancement and support initiative specifically aimed at the successful development of the human settlements function to the 6 metropolitan municipalities. That the Minister in the Presidency for Performance Monitoring and Evaluation as well as Administration ensured that the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation conducts a comprehensive implementation evaluation of the school's infrastructure program.
That is why I suggest in 511 that we include it there. Because now it's actually a duplication of 511 because on one side Treasury and DBE is going to do it, and the Earth's Performance Monitoring and Evaluation is going to do it. And they're going to virtually investigate the same thing.
No. But you would remember, if you can go back to those reports that we received from DBE, there is actually a report on the state of school infrastructure in the country. You remember? There is the one. Now, we could be repeating that must be done now by I think that maybe but if we say a comprehensive, or you're saying we're saying a comprehensive implementation evaluation.
Yes.
No, but I don't know, I'm just thinking loudly that there is that PICC, which from the cabinet point of sight is led by Minister Patel, which is responsible for implementation of this infrastructure. Now what I'm trying to say is that DPME, I'm not sure if it is the right department to deal with this. Mamza. Yes, Honorable Mata, you wanted to say something?
The recommendation, the first one, it's aimed at addressing currently what we are observing in terms of the challenges that face schools infrastructure. So it's capacity enhancement. That's the first recommendation. The 5.3, it's more looking into the evaluation program of DPME, which is can we include ASID as one of the evaluation topics for DPME, which is an assessment of implementation, which is not to do with capacity of ensuring that individuals actually effectively roll out the program.
Chair, well, can we agree with it if in the event of the implementation that there is a confusion with the minister, what we need, we will then explain it. But I think we should accept the recommendation.
and proceed.
I think it's like my sister saying, yeah, why not? Because it's covered to go one, the very, very first one, National Treasury developed systems and mechanisms. So it's not specific, it says systems and mechanisms targeted specifically at enhancing the performance of the school infrastructure program. Now here we're making in the same what you call on five, on this one we're saying no, now it must be National Treasurer and the DPME. I think that maybe let's just leave it at one. Unless we enhance one, we have one recommendation, not two.
That's what I was suggesting to
you. Yeah. What were you suggesting?
To make one a wider recommendation to leave this one.
But I don't think that what you call the problem is with this one. DPME is not really the department, you know. That's why I'm really what you're calling trying to persuade you that let's live with one. Let's just live with one, please. Yes, of course.
You know, you just read one. And one deals with Treasury and Department of Basic Education. And you're saying that they must look at the performance of school infrastructure program, right?
Yeah.
On 5.3, it speaks about the evaluation aspect. It's got nothing to do with what is done at once. It deals with impact assessment, evaluation that has to be done by a different department. And that department is called Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. So it's two different bodies that at play.
Chair, that's correct. I agree with Honorable Ramatlakana, but in evaluation is something which is normally done by a consultant. And they come and tell us, you know, what the impact is, as you say. Do we really want to know that? Because are they going to achieve something with that, because the public's going to tell them they're not performing. That's what they're going to get, because we know it. And that's why we're asking 511 for this assessment by Treasury and DPME and DBE.
Any other view?
But Chair, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation is dealing with evaluating. As much as they've got independent evaluation, but as a department they need to do theirs before the independent comes. It doesn't come only the independent and the department doesn't do anything around it. Because once they start to evaluate, it's where they can caution where challenges are coming. So I mean, I said let's stay as it is because it's different.
Okay. 5.5. With that report. 5.5.
That the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform and Minister of Agriculture and Forest and Fisheries jointly develop systems and mechanisms that ensure integration and coordination in farmer support programs so as to ensure value for money in farmer support programs.
Perhaps you could please ask, I thought
and nothing to add, but this said and done. Now, I don't want to bring what we do in other committees, but I think in this committee we've done it before as well. We've got these recommendations. We're making them to the House. So what? What time frame are we putting on these executive authorities to implement these recommendations of the House that will be passed by the House? So normally we put 60 days or so. So that all these EAs must within 60 days report to the House on what they've done about these on the implementation of these recommendations. Otherwise, they don't have any force and effect. It's just recommendations.
Now, just to remind ourselves that you remember that the minister, when he tables the budget review, he normally responds to these recommendations. He responds to our recommendations through that process. You remember? That will be next year. We don't want them tomorrow. We don't want them. Yeah. Now we'll still be around. Open. February the 19th.
I'm excited.
Now we won't be able to go yet.
Say, Chair, that we all agree that the minister do respond to the recommendations when he tabled the budget, but some of the recommendations are department specific, that the department would require to do some particular action. So if we were to put that, we've got to monitor rural and rural development and fishery. We want the action there from them. We want the action from the Department of the Public Service Administration and the Human Settlement. So some of them are specific, department specific. It could be useful that whilst the minister is going to respond, there's still a responsibility from those departments to do some action.
Typing in the conclusion.
We're dealing now with adjustments. No?
Yeah.
I'm saying recommendations. Are these recommendations not contained in the MTBBS?
They sort of.
So yeah. Maybe the same thing. No?
But these are more specific with amounts. That was more general. The MTBBS is a general observation and recommendation. This deals with the amounts.
Okay. 5.1.1.
That the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform develop mechanisms to improve its planning processes and overall performance against predetermined objectives.
Is that the one that has achieved 22%?
You'll have to have that 5.1. You can do adjustment recommends as follows. Then you just put that the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform develop mechanisms to improve. Should we really have that first?
Do you want to say develop mechanisms or do you want to say align its planning processes and and overall performance against predetermined objectives? Because I think that the issues are around alignment.
Department. Who are we saying this to? Not to the department, to the minister.
The minister, yeah.
We're going to ask for implementation.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're speaking to the minister, not to the department. No. Yeah, the minister. Okay, 5.2.
That the Minister of Finance ensure the following. That National Treasury develops systems and mechanisms targeted specifically at ensuring that projected underspending does not compromise on service delivery performance targets. That National Treasury develops systems and mechanisms for the expeditious completion and approval of rollover requests so as to ensure adequate time for any required adjustments on ongoing projects, especially large multi-year infrastructure projects.
This one? Yeah.
Given that the school's infrastructure program was not allocated a rollover of 1.3 billion or so, the committee was concerned about the scope of the project and the planning thereof. What impact did that have? So the committee in this instance, it's saying that the rollover process should be expedited so that the department also is aware that according to the plans that we have, this is the impact that the approval or not approval of the rollover will have.
Now, no. I think that maybe we could remove it.
No, that's
because it can fall off, because our understanding is that there will be extension of time, but we can't recommend a rollover for people who can't spend, you know. I mean, if they're not spending, we can see that they're not spending. It's difficult for us to justify that. They are not spending. I mean, even themselves, when they presented to us, they didn't even speak to that because they knew that they were not spending. They are not in a position to spend. Only one that is there, by the end of 6 months, they have spent 17%. Remember? Or 18% after 6 months. So they can't ask for a rollover, and we can't, what they call, support a rollover on something they have not yet. The other one, next one.
That National Treasury develops systems and mechanisms to enhance spending plans of departments so as to mitigate the negative impact of changes in foreign currency denominated expenditure. It's possible that this is an issue.
Can I just have to call it up, please?
Okay.
Now, I don't think that we need this one because it happens very on rare occasion. It's only with the department. It's not normally the Department of International Relations that is affected on those what you call maybe tourism to a certain extent. But it's not what you call something that you can really say we worried about. Yeah, it's not something that we worried about. Yeah, let's just take it out. Next one.
That National Treasury considers developing a grant framework for the Rural Households Infrastructure Grant that incorporates both direct and indirect components so as to ensure that where there is lack of capacity, sufficient support is provided to the identified municipalities.
Thank you.
funds were allocated largely to the wrong municipalities in the Gazette. So the department had allocated the money to local municipalities in areas where it's the district that's been authorized. So we, at the moment, we expect in the next week or so to Gazette the allocation to the correct municipality, and then the funds can be transferred. But we're confident that given that these municipalities, all these districts have capital budgets in the hundreds of millions, and the grant allocations range between $4 million and $8.5 million each, but they'll have no problem in spending that money in the remaining 6 months of the municipal financial year.
You know, what Honor of Mashifa said is that we had a discussion, I think, in 2011, August. I don't know if that's 19th of August, 2011, but somewhere there, where we said National Treasury and Human Settlement go and sit and discuss about this. The issue that the committee was raising was that the reason for under expenditure is that this grant is shifted. One day is here, the next day is there, the next day is there. And that affects the performance of the grant. We understand that National Treasury said it's not something that I have really read myself. I'm sure members would assist with this. National Treasury and I think local governments and SAGA were saying no. According to the Constitution, this is the responsibility of local governments, but assuming we accept that is the responsibility of local government. But I think that the committee's concern is that we are allocating resources to municipalities. I mean, we would want this grant to perform. And under the circumstances, it's not performing. Now we hear that even accountability is difficult now. Because you don't know who you're asking, whether it's Honorable Matlagana, it's myself, or anybody, you don't know, you're still looking. Clearly, it's not going to perform. And you know what? In these rollovers, it's one rollover that has been approved. 100 million has been approved. Honorable Matlagana.
No, Chair. Now, I was going to say that perhaps let's find a different word. You see, this one, I have a different take on it. Let me put that take on the table. I think this shift, by and large, has been influenced by a particular relationship. The relationship that Treasury had with the human settlement, particularly on this particular grant, was terrible.
Was terrible.
The DGs were not meeting. They were refusing to meet about this matter. So it was clear where it's going to go, because that relationship has then dictated where the fund must go, and this is the reality of it. So how we deal with it now, it's really just simply a rear guard issue. For me, so I think that we had, I think the committee was very strong on the fact that they don't agree with the shift. Now, I know earlier on you intervened to say the minister do respond to some of our recommendations. We're very strong about this particular shift. We said no, it should remain there where it was. In fact, it was the first year. How do you determine the non-delivery or the performance of it when there are system and employment of people that has to be able to manage this? So we were very clear about this. But the result of it, of course, didn't go that way. Now, for me, I think we should restate our initial position with regard to this particular. I know the explanation of 8 million less money and so on. For me, it's a principle that the issue was. That was a principle that we argued. It is not about rent and cent. We have taken a stance that we took, a principle one in terms of the functions that money pooling functions in terms of. So I want to say that perhaps what we need to do is to recraft the that recommendation there to the original position, because this one that we have crafted here is one that capitulates, that simply goes along with the system that we have already lost it, so let's just do X, Y, Z. So I don't think it's correct. I think we should just restate what we have done before. And I did say in the committee that I think it's by and large been influenced by relations, that the relationships has determined outcome of this. And this has got nothing to do with officials. I mean, it was, I know that we were in that meeting where we had this discussion.
We are saying there, as a committee, welcomes the rollover funding made available to the rural household infrastructure in direct grants. The committee knows the historical performance of the RIC has been poor. In particular, the indirect RIC had the expenditure of 57%. 2010-11, 73%, 2011-2012, 70%, 2012-2013. However, following the rescheduling of the grant in the 2013 DORA, the Department of Human Settlement managed to contract the full revised allocation for 2012-2013. I guess it's 2013-2014 here, no? Yeah. Because the division, Sora, excuse me?
It's 12-13 because of contracting the money that should have been spent in 12-13.
Okay. He must have managed to contract the full revised allocation for 2012-13, or full revised allocation for 2012-2013, which resulted in the rollover amount of 100 million. The committee views the successful implementation of RIC as critical for the provision of dignity to rural households through quality sanitation and services.
Now, Chair, let me comment on this. This is a paragraph that is borrowed. No, it's a borrowed paragraph from a Treasury response to the question that we have posed them. It's a paragraph that explained that I think in the Treasury are responding to all the questions. This word for word, cut and put in this particular paragraph to explain what this is, the Treasury position. So it is what is in fact as a result of what you've inherited now. So now what you are now raising is to whether what we're saying at the end of the recommendation is not in contradiction with this paragraph. You can read it as a contradiction, but I would read this as what the Treasury stated to the committee, including in the formal responses, as the reason why, because the poor spending patterns is in the memorandum that we received from Treasury.
Any other comments?
Jim, can we make the recommendation simple by just saying that National Treasury develops a grant framework to ensure a more efficient spending of the rural households infrastructure grant?
I think this recommendation is almost like that. But the issue really is, Honorable Matagana is making a very clear proposal, and Honorable Mashiko there, that look, this is not helping us, especially after with Mr. Kenyon says, they don't know today, nobody knows today, what is the performance of this of this grant. I don't know if you have a sense, at least, of what is the performance of this grant. Because all that the committee is concerned about, and I guess our colleagues in Human Settlement, is to ensure that there is a smooth, what to call a rollout of this program. You know, communities are able to access this. But these amounts, big amounts, what was it, what you call it, in 2012, 2013? Can you still remember the budget? How much?
The initial budget was, I forget the exact figure, but it was close to 500 million. Then you'll remember this time last year in the adjustments budget, because of the underspending on that grant, 138.5 million was taken out of the Rural Households Infrastructure Grant in the adjustments budget in 2012, and then it's against that. Then the department by the end of the year still underspent by that 100 million, which they managed to contract that 100 million in the last month, and that's why the rollover was approved.
It's
a complicated story.
We can tell you now. If you go out today and say, well, you contracted the 100 million rand, tell us where. If it is contracted elsewhere, you cut my finger. Mm-hmm. One of my fingers. I can tell you now.
The
11th
one.
The 11th one.
That's how serious you are about it.
No. Honorable Matagana, Honorable Mashiko, Honorable Swart, or who want to take a decision now,
yes,
after this round?
Could we not maybe rephrase that paragraph on page 4 to reflect that that statement is attributed to the correct department, the Treasury? That's a report we got from Treasury. So we say that this is what we were told about this, because we were asking those questions. So it's a proper attribution. When we come to the end of that paragraph, where the committee raises the view of successfulness of the implementation, we say that, but we then continue the sentence by stating that that's hence we of the view that the grant was properly allocated under Department of Human Settlement. That's the original position that we have taken as a committee. So I think that, and we space that out so that the department and the committee comments are separate. So if you clarify that on that page, then you go back to your recommendation. You align your recommendation then to what we say in page 4 of the report. The Treasury, the Minister will respond normally in his why there is no disagreement at all. But I think we should, for purpose of consistency in our own position in our report, I think that's what we need to state.
Okay. Comments.
My understanding of this paragraph, I think, is what is welcoming the fact that the money is still in the system for rolling over this article. I think that's what we are welcoming as a committee, is that if, for instance, Chandler was saying, because there was understanding, we're taking this money away elsewhere, as it normally happens. But here, is saying it's fine to encourage the department responsible, or department responsible, the money would be rolled over. But I think that maybe what we need to do from our side, I agree with the proposal that Honorable Mashiko and Honorable Ramatlakana are putting. Instead of stability, we want to see stability in this what we call a grant. I think that's what we are saying. But I think this program, this paragraph, we can add what Honorable Ramatlakana is saying. But I think that it's fine. But I think what really maybe has not been done sufficiently is really to monitor. To do oversight over the Department of Human Settlement. Because the Human Settlement should be able by now, after 6 months, to go to National Treasury and say, this is how this department has performed up to this stage. Because themselves, I think that they themselves, they have a problem. That's why they don't even want to say, how is the grant performing? I think there's a problem if after 6 months department can say we're not sure. They know exactly who had received this the funds. The question is simple: is to say in terms of the 4 million you have received, have you performed or what? But also you hear that some of allocations were done to wrong municipalities, which were actually not entitled to this program. So clearly there's a problem. I'm not sure if the human settlement is itself the right one to call. I remember that day we had the human settlement, we had the COCTA, we had Salga. Sorry? I'm not sure if rural development was there.
Chair, I just thought that paragraph where the committee views the successful implementation. It's rather the committee is of the view that the successful implementation of RIG is critical. If we say the committee views the successful implementation, maybe we are indirectly saying it is successful.
Yeah.
But we are of the view. The committee is of the view that the successful implementation of RIG is critical for the provision of dignity. That's a statement.
Okay. And then the recommendation is what Honorable Matarama was saying, and Honorable Mashiko.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that
so that we will insist on this, what we call the grant, until we see that the successful implementation of it. Honourable members, do you remember the what to call? It means that Honourable Matagana says we must bring back the original what to call the recommendation. Can we ensure that we do that? Yeah. The honourable members, there is a report of. Sorry. There's still one. No, we agree with that one.
Can we go to page 8?
Okay, let us deal with this last recommendation. That the Minister of Communications ensures that the Department of Communications prioritizes funding for expeditious completion. They have not started. We're talking about completion here. These people haven't started with this. And you know, I asked someone in the department, why are they budgeting like this? Because our view is that they're just cutting this money there, knowing that during the year, they shift these resources elsewhere. Yeah, on page, yes, so on page 256, for instance, of the adjusted estimate of national expenditure, you can see there, the whole budget is shifted elsewhere. But if you go to the previous one, you'll find the same thing. If yes, you know, I remember when Mrs. Mutubi, that lady who used to be a DG there, we were complaining about the same thing, you know, and then we were told that, no, the department has now stabilized now, is going to be able to do this. But when I say to ask them, which is not necessarily supposed to be, when I ask them about why are you having this, why are you budgeting like this, they say, no, if you take it away, oh, I was asking the chairperson, if you're taking it away, it has an impact on the digital migration, what they call a thing. But the thing is, they budget for it, they don't use this fund. I can say you can go back to the past, what they call it, 2 years or so. It has never been used. So, our recommendation, I'm saying it's a bit mild. Why don't we finish this one and go to page 8?
The third last paragraph on that,
where?
On page 8, deals with the question of the Department of Basic Education, which was urged to strengthen its internal capacity to refine planning and ensure that stringent measures are taken against non-performing IAs and service providers, because they don't do that. And shouldn't that be part of our recommendation?
They're still coming up with new recommendations. Now, I think that let's adopt it. You read it properly. Where's on page 8? Where? Third last. Although the department. Okay, but in the recommendation you don't put IAs, you put that word in full,
yeah.
Implementing agents.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so about communications, the department prioritizes funding for...
But the funding is there.
The funding is there, but they have not started with this...
Yeah.
Or we say national treasury.
salary here, the minister engages the Department of Communication on whether this this program on 1-1 Pulse Emergency Call Center is still relevant, you know? So that if it is no longer relevant, we don't have to continue budgeting for it. I mean, how do we know that we approve something that we know that is not going to be used? So how do we do that? Is that correct? Then if we ask National Treasury to intervene, to intervene on this project, so that there is implementation. Can you word it properly?
Are we putting time frames to this report in the end? Lots of ministers are in the conclusion. It's a 60-day time frame.
So what do we say?
Like
the Minister of engages the Minister of Communications to ensure that there is spending, to check whether there's still a necessity on this. What is the word? Okay, that's not me. But that's to ensure whether the program is still appropriate. You want to be nice on yourself. On page 8. Now,
which department is this?
This is the basic education.
So
that they must develop what we call the systems of what. But the recommendation is there on page 8. We adopted it.
Page 12.
Honored members.
I don't want to know, Chair, is it this paragraph, is it coming from you? Is it what was said by the department in your presence? I'm just talking about that the last time I left there.
No. Come. What is happening here? Do you see where we are? On page 8, 1, 2, 3, paragraph from the bottom. Starting with although the department, you see that? On page 8.
Yeah.
Although the department indicated that they had put in place the necessary controls to enhance performance, the committee emphasized the need for precise and specific remedial actions that will be instituted in order to ensure the successful implementation of this program. But now what is being added as a recommendation is what is now that said the department was urged to strengthen its internal capacity to refine planning and ensure that stringent measures were taken against non-performing implement agents and service providers. So all that they were saying was that let's take that part from where it says the department was urged. In other words, and put that as a recommendation.
So we're strengthening.
Sorry? I'm not sure whether you think you say yours or no.
In India they do that and everybody says, why are they so negative? But when they do this, they mean yes.
No.
So that tomorrow person said, I never said yeah.
So, Honorable Ying, and you were proposing the adoption of this report, ne?
Yeah.
After that clarity. Okay. The adjustment report, a proposal for the adoption of the report has been proposed. Honorable Singh, second. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Mr. Treasury, for being with us. This afternoon is only a statement on DORA. On Thursday, we now have 101 minutes. Sorry? We tried to get it not integrated. We tried to separate, but they said that we'll be breaking around 9 o'clock. That day. Well, okay. I'm reminded that we're breaking next week. On the 12th, it will be the last sitting, and then the committee sits throughout the week. But there was a request from DPME for those, remember there's going to be a workshop for DGs on evaluation. There will be experts coming from Colombia and Britain. Now, the proposal was that can we meet with them on that morning of the 21st? So initially we had agreed.
That's Saturday. 21st of November.
No. Of November. Of November. I don't want you to meet on those days in December. Yeah, are we still available or there will be the workshop will be around in around Stellenbosch or what but they say that if we are available they could come and speak to us but we don't want to say yes to them and when we know that we're not going to be available. What do we say to the department?
Yeah, let's go one by one. I'm not available on that day. I'm out.
It could only be the month. Is it possible then that maybe we don't do that that roll call, Honorable Singh, but we ask members to indicate to the staff whether we can continue with that.
Before next week on Tuesday.
Excuse me?
Before next week on Tuesday.
No, by Friday.
Oh, by Friday.
Yeah. Sunday?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Friday, I agree with that.
Yeah, by Friday we must be clear whether we would want that presentation by those experts. On that note, thank you very much, Honorable Member.
Chairperson, is that the last meeting of the year then?
Yeah.
Which one?
This one is the last meeting.
This one?
Yeah.
Is it the last meeting?
Yeah. Yeah.
How can we have the last meeting?
How can we not have a Christmas party? What's wrong with you,
Chair?
No. I'll hear from the Vatican.
Chairperson, no, I think
it's... No, he means from 5th of April this year, or from 5th of December.
Chairperson, that is the last meeting. I think that we want to thank everyone, our officials, want to thank you as chair, who lead us. But there are also some of our people that are not coming back next year. So I think we also must thank them for their input and contributions over many years. I know that Honorable Swartz is not coming back, but we have no other meetings. So I think that it will be good.
It will be nice if we by The week is tight. The week is tight. You know, we could on Thursday is the obviously the caucuses. Tomorrow, Friday, what are we having? There's no meeting on Friday. And the plenary starts early on the 12th, around 10. Am I right?
Yeah, 10 to 10.
It's us. Because it would have been nice just to get together and say the that farewell speech. You say
we can do it next year too. Then.
Yeah, we can do it. We'll be here next.
But
by then, you know, there might be the list might be out, and you know, some other people will also find that they're not coming.
No. Mine is just to say, for 2012, I mean for 2013, is our last meeting.
Yes.
To really take the opportunity to thank the members of this committee. The reality is that we have worked very hard over the year. You know, not many committees have felt like ourselves. This committee has been sitting from Tuesday to Friday. Other committees, people sit in two committees. But they sit once a week sometimes. And for us, we're serving in one committee. We have had to sit from Tuesday, you know, the whole week. And I would really, deep down from my heart, express my sincere, gratitude for the support and the dedication that the committee has really given me as a person presiding in this meeting. We haven't had very robust meetings. I think should I say luckily as a committee. I think that as a committee we have. I'm not trying to patronize you, but to say we have approached issues as members of the committee more than political parties. The people just who have kind of spoiled this are the shadow people there who are not actually in this they've wanted to prescribe to the committee. But on a serious note, thank you very much for the work that we have really put behind the wheel. And National Treasury, thank you as well for being there when we need your support. We're giving these recommendations, and clearly on these recommendations, we're looking for specific responses. You know, especially on the issue of not more than the others. This issue of expenditure, 100%, but not in line with the predetermined objectives, I think it's a big problem. Not only for us as appropriations, but generally for Parliament. And the staff, I think. Sorry. Now, thank you very much for. We have maybe we have been too demanding, not because we liked it, but this time the pressure has not been from. We have been required to do this within a specific time, but we have been up to the task, you know. The mistakes and everything, we understand. We're human beings. Thank you very much. Thank you, Comrade Harald Blom, for reminding us. And Comrade Mfula, there.
Unfortunately, Chair, Honorable Van Dijk can't be at the East Traffic somewhere.
From your kind of Comrade, thank you very much, and thank you very much.